Introducing the Jasper Cacao Project, your gateway to spiritual enlightenment through the power of cacao. This is a wholesome beverage that not only nourishes your body but also uplifts your soul. Jasper Cacao is ethically sourced, fairly traded, organically grown and crafted with love to bring you a truly transformative experience. Cacao, known as food of the gods, has been revered for centuries for its spiritual and healing properties. The Jasper Cacao Project honours this ancient tradition by offering you the purest form of cacao, free from additives and preservatives. Indulge in the rich beverages and feel the positive energy flow through you, whether you are looking to enhance your meditation practice, nourish your body with goodness, or simply savour a moment of bliss. The Cacao Project is here to accompany you on your spiritual journey. With every kilo sold, Jasper Cacao donate funds to the UK charity Plant Your Future, enabling farmers to sustainably grow their crops in the most eco-friendly way. Check out my bio for a discount on your first purchase, where you will receive 15% exclusive affiliate discount. Expanding love with every sip. Well, hello, witches, our beautiful souls. Swales here, the Friendly Green Witch of the Bell Witch Podcast. I'm here to help you get witchy in the 21st century. And I bet you're wondering, why are you here then? It's only been a week. Well, can't help myself, can I? I'm addicted. I'm absolutely loving it. If I could podcast all the time, I would. And my poor husband just doesn't see me anymore because I'm either jogging, doing mum-related stuff, or podcasting. I feel just so good and confident about it all. And when something makes you feel good, you want to do it all the time, don't you? My last episode, Magic of the Sea, is a massive hit. It's doing amazing. I'm truly humbled by that, so thank you. It's actually quite interesting because that episode took me quite a long time to stitch together the Magic of the Sea. And I didn't really want to do it at the beginning. I was just like, nah, I'm not in the mood. But I had to force myself to do it, and then so much just happens in me, you know, like when I'm doing them, magic happens and they become something quite beautiful, even though I really want feeling it. It's just balmy, really. It's just the universe going like, ha! On the back of my positivity, I decided to enter the British Podcast Awards, which is just huge. It's a really big deal. I got a bit of help entering it. Thank you, Leanne. I love you. And I took a couple of days just staring at it and rereading it, and just to make sure that I'd done the right thing and done a good job. Can't believe I've done it, really. Oh my God, Swales. Oh, she's getting brave. And so I'm here to ask for your help. If you could leave me the ratings, the reviews, all over wherever you listen. I mean, I'm a bit short of them on Apple Podcasts. And also the Podbean reviews, I do read them and I do see them. I think there's about 11 there at the moment. You know, thank you so much for leaving me reviews on Podbean. I'm one of those right cool witches that Googles the self and the show, the Bell Witch Podcast, to find new stuff. And yeah, that's how I see them reviews, because it comes up on my Google search. Also, I've just made it back into the spirituality chart. I think I'm new in at 190, which is pretty cool. And that's because of the Magic of the Sea episode. So that's give me an extra rocket with my bum to come along and do more. Thank you, universe. Thank you. Also, because I'm quite far ahead now with the guests that I interview, and a few of them say things about their businesses, their plans and dates coming up. And so that means I have to kind of rejig stuff, and I need to put a few out quick because my guests mentioned dates in April, and I'm really aware that March is marching on, and so I thought I'd just do a couple back to back just to catch up with the dates, because I want this to be really beneficial for my guests. I want them to benefit you know, as much as they can from coming on the Bell Witch podcast. As if they're going to talk about an event that they're doing, I want there to be enough time, you know, for people might even have a look and perhaps book if there's enough time. So hence me doing, it's not a bonus one, it's just an extra between the two normal episodes. For this episode, my lovely friend Louise Bloomer told me about this lovely guy called Shane, who had just started up a new cacao business called the Jasper Cacao Project. And she were next door to him on a stall in Birmingham. And I think they got on like a house on fire and his business is really new. And that he should totally come on the podcast and tell me all about what he's up to and how amazing cacao is. And so we did this interview maybe in January, so it's been sitting in the wings for quite a while. And oh, we had so much fun. He is such an amazing, passionate guest. He was really into what he was talking about. He just had so much knowledge and respect for cacao. And at the end, it was like, oh my gosh, I need in. You know, like I could feel the passion oozing out of him. Every single pore of his soul. He was just so there in this moment. And it really inspired me to buy some cacao from him and some tools. So I've got a little ceremonial bowl. And I've got this really cool wooden Mexican whisk, like a traditional whisk. The book, which he talks about by Anne Ball, all about celebrating cacao. And because today on recording it is International Women's Day, I thought I'd do myself my first ever solo cacao ritual. Now, I've had cacao a few times in my life, maybe two or three. And I'm pretty sure the first two times it was just rank. It was like, what is this horrible, watery, bitter, bleh. Which is interesting because I drink black coffee, you know, like proper black coffee. So I'm accustomed to bitter tastes. And I like really dark chocolate, like 80%. But that's still considerably sweet compared to, you know, like raw cacao. And so I decided, okay, it's not for me until I had another ceremony, a full moon one, and that cacao was absolutely amazing and it changed everything about me, altered my understanding of it because it impacted my week so much. And then that's all I could think about then, and it was just so happened I got advised to get in contact with Shane about the Jasper Cacao Project. So it's all just fallen into place. And I did my cacao ceremony today, you know, I lit a candle, put some water in a pan and slowly boiled it up. And then I added about 30 grams of the cacao, which I'd mindfully broken up with a knife, you know, just thinking about the moment, the present moment, and International Women's Day, everything I'm thankful for in this moment, everything I want to gain by the end of the year, and just being like really magically aware and being like really hugely grateful and quite fulfilled in my life and what I'm achieving. Put the cacao into the hot water and stirred it, and I put a little bit of coconut milk as well just to thicken it up. And then I bubbled it up with the wooden sieve, which was quite fun because you kind of like roll it between your hands. And then I sat down with this beautiful little ceremonial bowl and just looked at it, smelt it, and I thought about my breath, listened to some nice music, thought about my past and my mum and my nan and how they'd brought me up and did the best I could. And then before I knew it, I was feeling really emotional, but not like sad emotional, like just gratitude and being amazed at how it spoke to me. And it tasted quite nice as well. I'd put a little bit of honey in it just to sweeten it up, just a little bit. Get it to your required taste. I would quite like to add herbs to it, but I need to really think about what I want from the herbs rather than just adding what I've got, because it needs to be mindful. The whole thing about this amazing beverage is it asks you to stop and meditate and help your vibes to heighten. Drink this drink for the sake of its beauty, for the sake of its taste and its goodness in your body. You know, it's rich resources of minerals and vitamins that'll get right into your bloodstream. Just being there. And I'm very rarely just there at the moment because I'm just here, there and everywhere, and I've got piles of things to do, job-wise, work-wise, housework-wise, mum-wise, PTA-wise, you know. So it was really nice. I ended up spending about an hour with this drink and being really grateful that I finally made the bond with cacao after like two or three times trying. So yeah, I hope you enjoy this episode. It is a good in-depth one, quite a long one, and it was a right mission to edit because of technical difficulties and losing the internet. And beautiful Zencaster's so good at doing backups and rescuing my audio when it disappears off the screen. So this one's been quite a challenging one to put together, and I have edited to the best of my ability as somebody who just does this as a hobby. And yeah, enjoy. Welcome, Shane, to the Bellwitch podcast. Jasper Cacao.
Yeah, Jasper Cacao Project, yeah. The Jasper Cacao Project is a company which serves, at the moment, the UK with the most magical and beautiful ceremonial cacaos. We do that to just help people to heal through the amazing medicinal benefits of 100% pure cacao. And I also do ceremonies with cacao and so much more. It was actually birthed from years ago. I started a coaching company. I used to be a chef many years ago. Then through my own kind of mental health journey, I went into coaching to help other chefs. And then it kind of expanded. And I was basically one day, I went to a circle and they served cacao. And they actually didn't say much about it. But I kind of fell in love once I drank, and my kind of inquisitive mind wanted to go further. So I started researching it. And then after a while and some training, the Jasper Cacao Project was born.
So is it a recently new adventure for you then?
It is. So, I mean, I've been holding cacao ceremonies for around 2 years now. Cacao ceremony is using cacao as a plant medicine, and honoring the spirit of cacao, which helps us to journey deeper into, say, meditation, breath work, and heart focused spaces, right? So I was doing that for 2 years, and then people kept asking me, can we get some cacao off you? And I was like, no, I don't sell it. I'd kind of just say, okay, here's the supplier to go and get some. And it kind of went like that for quite a while, where people kept asking me at my ceremonies, can we get some? And I didn't really feel called to sell cacao or even import it or anything. Then one morning I woke up, and it just felt, the first thing I thought when I woke up is, right, now's the time. I always tend to follow those calls, those instincts, those messages, and like any downloads that come down, I'm not afraid to step into the unknown. And so I started researching about how I can find the most beautiful cacaos, looking at all the elements of, you know, where they come from, how it's grown, sustainability. My chef mind is very much about the roots of everything, and that was really important to do that. So after many months of trying different cacaos and talking to different companies, we ended up where we are now. And the Jasper Cacao Project then came into fruition, and we launched on October the 8th. So
oh,
we're
blimey.
Very fresh.
So, yeah.
And it's going beautifully.
As somebody who is aware of cacao, but I don't really know. I mean, I know they sell it in Holland and Barrett, but I'm suspecting that's very different to what you're talking about.
yeah, absolutely. So as an example, a ceremonial cacao is grown with intention in many cases by tribes with great historical lineage or descendants of tribes. As an example, we get some of our Peruvian cacao from Ashaninka farmers. These are indigenous tribes, and they grow the cacao for the benefit of health, not mass production. You know, not for the chocolate bars. And the process of the cacao is really, it's really basic and simple. And what I'll explain is how the cacao in this form is created, but then what happens if it went into that mainstream to make chocolate and stuff. So what they'll do on these farms is they will grow cacao. Cacao's a fruit, for anyone that didn't know. It's a beautiful fruit in a big pod. And the cacao beans are these beautiful little beans, which are held in this nice flesh. So it's almost like lychee flesh. It's like this white flesh. And there's 20 to 60 beans in these beautiful pods. Now, the pods are different colours, depending on what bean it is. We use a really rare one called Krillo, which is known to be the first ever cacao bean, and everything else was propagated from it. So lots of deep historical lineage, so on and so forth. So what they do is they'll open them up, they'll take out the beautiful fruit, they'll put it into either big tubs or even holes in the ground that are lined with banana leaf. And then what happens is they cover the fruit and they ferment it. Now, what happens with that is obviously it gets that vinegariness, you know, with fermentation. The fruit actually falls off and it starts to get this chocolatey flavor. So once all that fruit's off and it's fermented, they'll take the beans and they'll dry them, as an example, under the sun in the Amazon rainforest, and they'll dry them out. So they're always keeping it at a low temperature, probably around 42. So it's still known as a raw product, so it doesn't ruin or the nutrition and the health benefits. And then what they do from there is they quickly scorch the beans to just open the skin, take the skin off, they bash it into nibs, as we often see, like bags of cacao nibs, and they crush down, often with stone wheels or stone tools, into a lovely paste. And that's where it stops. That's just an example of, like, these ones come in wheels. These are from Guatemala, from a Mayans women's collective. They are Mayan mothers and grandmothers. So it's all women. And then we've got one from Peru, which we get in kind of chunks. That's the Ashan Inca tribe. So we get that in kind of chunky bits. And that's where the process finishes. And that's where it's ceremonial cacao. Now, as an example to know the difference, what often then happens if it's mass production or chocolate is they'll mass produce chocolate in the same way that we've already said. But then what happens from there is the next step is they will overheat the paste and they separate the cacao butter. So they end up with the butter and cacao powder. And what you might get told, it's still a superfood. It's got no nutritional benefits because they've raised it up to like 98 degrees. They separate them. They sell cacao powder or cocoa powder. They sell butter separate. And then they make chocolate bars. They bring them both and put them back together. And then they put palm oils and they put sugars. Exactly. They put palm oil and sugar, and they turn like 5 kilos into 100 kilos. And that's where that mass production is. But the ceremonial cacao, as I said, to differentiate, stops at that point where it's nothing separated. It's full fat. It's in its pure form. And it's grown with intention.
I thought it would be something about that. I mean, being a witch, you know, it's all about intention, yeah, isn't it? And how you respect stuff and absolutely how you talk to stuff. And like, do you know the people who do all this, the tribes and stuff?
Yes, so I work directly with them. We're going out to Guatemala and Peru in the next few months to actually meet in person. But we work directly, so there's no middlemen or anything like that. We are actually importing ourselves directly. I never set out to do that. I set out just to work with a supplier, maybe in the UK or Europe. But as things kind of happen and transpire, it ended up that we went directly to source, because actually, I believe now, you know, it's obviously meant to happen. What happened is I found a supplier and we'd ordered cacao and we liked and what we thought would benefit our kind of tribe, our followers, or whatever you want to call them. And what happened was, actually, when we ordered it, he said, I can't get you that actual one that you want. And I thought, but we've worked on this for so long. We've been experimenting for 3 or 4 months. And it was like, at first, it was a bit of a wound, right? A bit of a kick in the belly. But then went, right, well, what's the next step? So we can get what we want. And we actually just went deep into it. And I spent about 10, 12 hours in front of the computer, because it's not easy to get to source. We ended up getting to source, and now we are actually importing directly from the growers, from the suppliers. So it's kind of made it really extra special. Even though we didn't set out, the call was, this is what you need to be doing. So we followed that, and that's where we've ended up. And yeah, there's a great kind of emotional and spiritual attachment to that now, in terms of it just feels really wholesome that we can work directly with those people. So yeah, it's a really good place to be in.
I absolutely love that you go there in person and you support them, you know, because that's what we need to do, really, as white Westerners. We need to stop being so money hungry and capitalism and all that, you know. We need to really take care of it.
Exactly. The reason that I were Indigenous lands, right? So for me as well, it was, although obviously we're paying for it, but also we're taking a sacred plant medicine from the lands that are not Indigenous to us in the UK. And for me, is I can't do that without giving back. So again, I went on another mission to really find where we can give back to those lands. And for me, it's difficult, sick and fraught, to trust big scale charities. And so I did find a brilliant charity in the UK that work on the ground in Peru. They're called Plant Your Future. So they actually train farmers to create sustainable farms, organic farms, and they replenish the Amazon rainforest where it's been broken down, and also planting native trees as well, rather than bringing new trees in. It's native trees. So they're helping low-income families to create sustainable businesses. Because an interesting thing which I found out on this journey is that we often think that it's the loggers that are ruining most of the Amazon rainforest. But what I actually found out through Plant Your Future is 90% of it is actually the local farmers. Because the West wants all the wonderful medicines, right? So they actually don't know how to farm to that level. So what they do is they don't know how to turn over crop and grow it in a certain way. So what they do is and we're not talking about just cacao here, by the way, we're talking about all different farming crops. And what they do is they grow crop, it works for a couple of crops, maybe 2 years, and then it fails. Once it fails, because they haven't been, they don't know necessarily how to tend to the land properly to keep it nutrient dense. What happens is that fails, so they move on. And to move on, they take another part of the forest, so they burn it, the area, and they get rid of all of the trees, and then they start farming again. Because of the soil's being burnt, it only lasts a certain amount of time. It's not the greatest crop anyway. Then they move on. So it's this cycle. So Plant Your Future, breaking those cycles and helping the locals to farm in a beautiful, sustainable way. And like I said, that's cacao trees, that's native plants. And for me, I kind of fell in love with that charity. So from every sale, every kilo sold, we give £1 to them. So we've already made our first donation and looking to do a second one soon. So that's of great importance to me as a base and foundation of a white Westerner bringing in this medicine.
That's amazing. I'm so into that. We'll link the charity in my show notes as well. Marvelous. I mean, it is a problem, isn't it? You know, the whole like white sage, Palo Santo. I'm always really aware of it. I try not to buy it. I try to use my own sage, British sage from my garden, to be mindful of it.
Yeah,
Can't just keep taking. We just can't.
Exactly. It's a sage and it's, I don't know what you want to call us, our group, our crowds, or spiritual people. I don't know what label, but we've created that. We've ruined these sage because we want all this sage. And it's the same with all these other plants. The West, something comes in and we go, we want this, it's great, we need it. And we overbuy, and then now that white sage is nearly gone. The Palo Santo is nearly gone. So for me, it's like you said, it's about coming closer to home and, you know, using things like, I actually, my grandmother has loads of lavender, and I've actually made some nice...
like smoke ones. Yeah, I mean, lavender. I use loads of lavender. It grows really well. I make bundles and I sell them at the crystal shop. And it's more magical, really, because you can tell its story, you know, where it came from. You know, you've grown it with intent. Can anybody use cacao as long as it's mindful?
Yes, so for me, look, this is a sacred plant medicine, and this is a medicine from the earth, from Mother Earth, and we are Mother Earth. So for me, I believe that everybody should be able to drink this medicine. What I'm trying to do is really bridge the gap between spirituality and everyday every health use or health benefits use or everyday use, because I don't feel as though it's just for spiritual people or just for ceremony, because we're given this joyful plant by Mother Earth. So for me, if people don't want to go down the spiritual route, it still should be available for them, and they shouldn't be shamed because they are not using it in ceremony. Having said that, it's very important, so we don't go into that mass production state, that we do help people who don't want to go down the spiritual route and they're just looking for the health benefits, you know, for the magnesium, potassium, iron, calcium, and all of these wonderful elements, that they do still understand that this is a medicine and this has been grown in a certain way and it's sacred, but they don't need to go down the route of ceremonial use. But it is still with intention, with intent and wisdom and knowledge on how blessed we are to have such a wonderful medicine. So I think everyone should be able to use it.
Every day?
So everyone's different. I know people who like to drink ceremonial cacao daily. I also know people who just do a ceremony for themselves once a week. But we've got to remember as well, there's so many deep medicinal properties in here. People who are magnesium deficient, who've been taking magnesium tablets and they haven't worked because they're not absorbing it in the body for years, can drink this daily in smaller doses. Or some people like higher doses more frequently. It's really about every individual nurturing their own relationship with cacao in general. And if you want to go down the routes of nurturing the relationship with the spirit of cacao, with Mother Cacao as a spirit, then doing so either way. But either way, it is down to that individual to nurture that relationship and see what feels good, what doesn't feel so good, and to be able to find their, I guess, their sweet spot, you know, of this lands within their life, definitely.
I'm so drawn to it. It keeps popping up on my radar. Because like you say, you're in the like spiritual realm, aren't you? And everybody's into it. And I've had maybe or three goes with it. And the first couple were just gross. It was just like really bitter, watery. And I was just like, what is this? I can't. And it's supposed to be nice.
Yes. So an interesting thing with that is, when first drinking cacao, obviously we're looking at cacao in its purest form. So with chocolate that we're used to, it's had all these processes, like it's been conched, so it takes out the bitterness, like unnaturally and all sorts of things. But it's more of a mind thing. It's like a placebo effect, where if I was to give this to someone and say, do you want to try this? They hadn't tried it before. The first thing that 99% of people will do is they'll drink it and they'll go, oh, and it's almost like a shock, right?
Yeah.
Because our mind is conditioned to believe that chocolate, that's essentially chocolate, is going into our mouth, is supposed to be sweet. So that placebo effect in heightens that almost that bitterness of the chocolate. So what I tend to like to do with people who are drinking for the first time is to just basically hold your mug of cacao, and I only do it with water and cacao pure, and then people can nurture. I always go water and cacao pure first, so people can try it, they can drink it, and they can understand it better as a drink, as a flavor profile, etc. And then I say it's time for you to nurture your own relationship with the cacao. So that might be adding a sweetener, or it might be actually changing to a plant milk. So then you nurture your relationship from there, but at least you've had in the purest form. But essentially what happens is, because of that mind conditioning, the placebo effect, I always say just bring your cup up to your face like this, and then just for a few minutes, just take a moment and just really smell that aroma. And what will happen as people start smelling the aroma of the cacao, it starts to become natural within the mind. So cacao actually starts breaking down the belief that chocolate is sweet when it's not. We add sweetness. It starts breaking down that belief that it is. And that's where the relationship starts, that nurturing. So then I always say, after you've kind of just smelt the aromas for a while, you'll also start feeling warm and just really connecting to the cacao. And even if you're not in a spiritual realm or whatever, you don't know it, but you're still nurturing that relationship with the spirit of cacao as you start to feel that energy flow through the body. And then what I say is, now just take a sip. And when you take a sip, just take a sip and just allow cacao to sit on your tongue just for a few moments, and then swallow, and then just take a moment to not judge the cacao, to not start thinking about it, to just be with cacao. And then by the fourth sip, it's totally gone, and the whole mind, body, taste, flavor, it actually balances out, and people go, oh, actually it's gone, because it's initial shock, it's an initial placebo. So yeah, after the fourth sip, it's kind of like, ah yeah, actually it's all right. You know. Ooh. and then they can nurture their own relationship as they move forward. So that's kind of how I like to help people with cacao. Yeah,
I mean, you, like you say, you make it just with water. Is it literally just like you boil up a pan of water, because it's quite chunky, and it in like a really big packet, or and you've got to hammer it or something? Yeah. I don't know.
I send it to people in chunks, because I think if you want to set intentions, it's good to set intentions straight away. So you'd like take that out of the bag, for instance. And just kind of, if you can, without cutting your fingers off, disclaimer, it's not my fault if you cut your fingers off. I like to, like, just close my eyes and set intention, and I just cut off what I need, what I'm looking for, that 30 grams, that 25 grams, and then I put the piece back into the bag. And then whatever liquid you're using, so say it's a water, so you get spring water, you can boil it in the kettle, but leave it for like 10 minutes. Or if you boil up a pan of water or a pan of plant milk or whatever it might be, allow it to cool just for 10 minutes, because actually you're looking for it to be around 60 max, 60 degrees. The reason being is you don't want to break down the nutritional content in there. So as we know in this modern world, if we boil anything, any food, you break down the nutrients, the nutritional content starts being severed from the actual food item. So it's the same with cacao. So we try and keep it low, and it's still going to melt in. So you can either melt your cacao into the pan, or if you are not interested in doing it in a pan, it works just as well if you actually pour the liquid over the cacao. You can use a hand blender. You'll see many people go, you can't use metal, you can't use a hand blender, you can't do this. You can do anything that you want, as long as you still respect and there's still intention there. You know, you often see people, I don't know why it's even a debate, but a debate on, should we be using a little hand buzzer to get foam and to get fluff? They didn't do that 3,000 years ago. This is a post I saw the other day. We also didn't fly cacao over in cargo planes 3,000 years ago. If we want to do it exactly like the Mayans do, then get your jugs, stand from a height and pour your cacao from a high height into another jug. We live in a Western world, and it's not 3,000 years ago. So this is what I mentioned about shaming people earlier about how they do things. It's entirely up to you what you use, whether you use a traditional Mexican whisk, a metal whisk, a hand blender, a bigger blender. Just love the cacao, and however you do it is entirely up to you. And that's my take.
But you can't use cow's milk, my understanding.
Correct. So cow's milk. So there's things called flavonoids, and they help with like the nutritional aspect of it. So what happens is there's an element in cow's milk that actually stops the absorption of all the goodness within cacao. Okay.
So there is a legit reason. It's not just because it's from an animal.
It's not just veganism. It's not just about veganism or anything like that. It's a genuine it's a genuine thing where the flavonoids, it's almost like there's something in the cow's milk that puts a wall up and stops the absorption of all the loveliness and health benefits coming through into your system. So yeah, that's a genuine kind of science backed thing. Yeah,
the third cacao I had was actually a full moon ritual with my friend who's a witch, the Wiccan lady, and she made this amazing cacao, and she'd put herbs from a garden. I think there were mugwort in it. Beautiful. I've never tasted such delight in my life. Maybe that is because, like you say, I've done two which were like, ugh, and then
yeah.
I did this one. But one of the amazing things afterwards, because it was such a lovely ritual, full moon ritual, I had really vivid dreams for like a solid week afterwards, and they were of a different nature to my usual dreams, and I kept bringing it back to the cacao that had done it. And I was a bit like, gosh, I need more of that in my life.
I mean, it's so actually what you've got there is this wonderful marriage of mugwort and cacao. And although they're from different lands, they work so beautifully together because of the cacao and the deep benefits, you know, the theobromine and all these elements and this energy that the spirit of cacao brings to these ceremonies, along with the mugwort. See, I actually, you know what we were saying about sage and stuff earlier, I create mugwort bundles because mugwort is, I create mugwort bundles because that's it's in abundance everywhere on this land. That's our sage, right? We can go and cut it down. We can create because it's actually, mugwort is known as the, it's said to be the first ever herb that was ever propagated by humans from the wild. And try to actually grow it in farmland, like, because it's used in many shamanic practices, because it's known as the dream herb. So helps you to dream vividly, whether you have in tea or smoke. So there's that element there. So probably why you were dreaming, but bringing them both together really kind of heightens that. They're just so wonderful together. Yeah.
It was amazing. It was. So now I'm always thinking, I want to do that again and I need to learn how to do it myself. And then Louise, the Wiccan lady, mentioned you. And I was just like, oh my God, I need to talk to her about it because I've got so many questions.
I did my first ever stall in Birmingham and I was next to the Wiccan lady and we started talking from marvellous.
So I want you to blow your horn now about your own little business and what you offer. I'm really interested in your ceremonies. What happens there? What you do? Do you lead them?
I do indeed. Yes. Yeah. So over the years, throughout my kind of own personal journey, I say learning, but I think it's more remembering. You know, we always say I'm going to learn about spirituality. I think a lot of it is remembrance, right? Actually, the old ways, the ancient ways, and it's inside of us already. So going down these routes of depressed chef, I went into the realms of a conscious coach. I trained in all these modalities, meditation, different types of breath work, holding space, just, you know, an abundance of them. And what I've come to, I've really fallen into my space here with cacao, with everything else that I've learned. Now I feel so grounded in what I do with cacao as that kind of, I don't know what you call it, a cloak or this kind of, I don't know, but it's just so wholesome. So with all of these other elements that I've learned over the years, I've brought them into ceremony, into one space. My personal ceremonies, and they have been now for 3 years, are very much based about letting go. It's about letting go of something that it's kind of, maybe you could say, holding us back or stopping us from doing a particular thing. And that might be letting go of the way you speak to yourself, if it's not particularly a nice way, the feeling of hate towards someone, anger, or, you know, just any, it could be anything that you believe that letting go of it will help you. And this is where cacao is really a perfect marriage for these type of letting go ceremonies, because everything I do within the ceremony is tuned to the heart space, to the heart energy. So I work with different different instruments that are all tuned to the heart space. At the end of the year, I'm going to do gong training and all that. But intuitively, I've got like chimes and one bowl and every single element that I've got and you know, I've got drums and stuff, but all of these other elements, they're all tuned to the heart. These will start by, I will give a talk about cacao and the spirit of cacao, the history, and the information that people like to hear without going too in depth and turning it into a class. And then we will ground into the space. I tend to write new cacao prayers for each one I do, where it's just, it's really a thanks to the Olmecs, the Mayans, the Aztecs, the farmers of past and present, the shamans who kind of help us to understand the deep wisdom, the history, all of the thanks, and helping people to connect to the spirit of cacao, Ush cacao. So it's about grounding into that space. And then what we'll do is we kind of do some, depending on how the room feels, some somatic movement, because I like everyone to feel like they can drop into that. They've done the grounding, we've done the cacao prayer, but also just opening up the spine, helping those energy centers to open up so people can just feel more relaxed in themselves. So it might be some somatic movement, opening up the spine, so on and so forth. And then we'll kind of go into some journaling. What do you want to let go of? What is it you want in? It could be one thing, it could be five things. We'll do some journaling while I prepare cacao. Bring cacao over, then we'll kind of, I'll do a little bit more talking about, you know, what cacao means, you know, things like the word cacao, for instance, as we know it, C-A-C-O, comes from the word cacao, K-A-K-A-U, which is an old Mayan word, which means heart blood. Yeah, that information, that's where it's, that heart energy connection comes from. And also the word chocolha, which means to drink together. So them together, yeah. Nice little bits like this, you know, that people really, really love and can connect to. And then we will have the ceremony. The ceremony is where I again introduce people to close their eyes. And it's almost, you could say, it's almost like a meditation. We'll do what I said before about smelling cacao and connecting to the energy, feeling the energy and the flow, and then drinking. And then everyone drinks for 10 minutes over their own pace, and I'm helping everyone to just bring their hearts into one beating rhythm by just the heartbeat effect on the drum, going up to people if I feel like they'll benefit from really feeling the vibrations of the drum as they're drinking. We'll go behind them, so on and so forth. And then we'll go into breath work. Breath work is the, I guess you can call the ceremonies like this kind of mountain that we climb, and the when we get to the top of the mountain, we can release and we can jump off and start coming back down. So the breath work is, it can be quite intense. It depends what we're doing that day, where it goes about releasing what you want to let go of. So I will, to get people to visualize as they do conscious, expressive breath work, I call it. So we're breathing at a steady pace all the way through consciously in a circle, but so people can connect to what they're letting go of, I'll ask them to bring it up. So what happens is, in many cases, people might, their body might start, you know, when people have got trapped energy in the body, and that's what essentially trauma is, right? It's an unfinished cycle. So I say to people, make noise if you want to, stamp your feet if you feel energy coming through your body. And we're not going into trauma, it's not that type of thing, but we're allowing those, that stagnant energy to roll through the body and then come out. And that might be shaking, stamping and rolling about and kind of just going, and you know, so we'll go into that, and that's, we get to the peak. And then once people have done that, it can get quite emotional for some people. Some people laugh, some people cry, some people, not much goes on. So everyone's different, and you know, I'm not programming people this should happen. You know, if nothing happens, that's cool also. You're still meant to be here. It's just, feel into that. And then we go into a meditation. So it's the replenish stage. There's different elements. It might be like I'll ask people to take their intention on what they were letting go of and actually propose a question to their future self. So it'll be a visualization of their future self coming to them in the form of maybe light or just a presence or a figure. It depends what happens in their mind. And that presence is the future self, and asking that question. And if anything comes through, and this is where the medicine of cacao really helps to bridge the gap between these worlds, where this information can come through, and then people might get some answers, people might not. And again, it's absolutely okay if nothing comes through. And then at the end, we sometimes we might have read a card before people go leave as a bit of guidance. I always ask them to pick it at the start with the left hand connected more to the heart space, and just to hover and feel where that energy pulls the card up. And I say, put it next to yourself, right to the end. If we're doing that, we'll read the card at the end, and then it'll be a sharing, a few moments of sharing at the end once I've read everyone's card out. If we're not doing the card, I might just do some drumming just to finish it off. Some nice light drumming, some gong, wind gong or some instruments, just while people just learn Shavasana and just kind of almost like just let, not try and make meaning out of anything, but just allow themselves to kind of like, what the hell just happened kind of thing, yeah, you know. It's like, oh wow, I'm okay. It's just one of them, just be. So yeah, that's kind of how they go, really.
I want to come. It sounds amazing. It just, you talking about it is making me go like, I want to go.
We're doing, I've got, I think my next full like ceremony, like I've just explained, is in April. The next ceremony that I'll be doing is in Yam, at Yam Wellbeing in this lovely old building. And it's in April. Can't remember what date at the moment off the top of my head. And I think I should probably see if I can get that date, considering we're on a podcast. I'm just about to look. It's on the 20th of April at Yam Wellbeing. And that's from around 4 till 6:30.
Oh, okay.
It's near Stockton-on-Tees. Where are you? You're in the north, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in Leeds.
You're in Leeds, so it's further north, near Middlesbrough.
Right. Ah, okay, cool. Thought it was down.
Yeah, so no. I've been down south for many years, but I'm back. I'm in the north now. I'm in Stockton-on-Tees, so I'm back in my hometown where I left 20 years ago. So it's great to be actually experiencing this new part of my life back home where I left 22 years ago, you know, back on home soil. So that's also quite nice, you know.
It's funny, isn't it? I think me and you might be about a similar age, sort of late 30s. Mm. There's definitely a pattern of going through a lot of shit and learning from it and trying and failing. And then you get to about this age and you use everything, don't you? The universe just kind of picks you up and puts you on a path. And you go like, oh my God, I've got all this content, if you like, you know, from my past, and I can apply it.
It's almost like
we have to go through it, you know.
We wouldn't be here doing what we did if we didn't go through it, and everything is, that path was put in place for us to follow, and it's up to us to, you know, answer the calls of whatever that puts in front of us. And if we don't answer the calls, what we essentially will end up doing is just going on a longer path or a detour, you know. So that's why I try and answer all that. I've never expected, like I said, to be importing direct from source. I never expected to be back in the Northeast at home, back here. But when them calls presented themselves, I went, why not? There's no reason not, so let's just see what happens. And if it doesn't work out for whatever reason, then I can do something else. Like, I'm not going to live in a space of fear in case something goes wrong, because it's all wisdom now and I can take from it. So I just feel like I'm in a really great, fortunate space that obviously I've created, you know, by following those calls. But yeah, I really feel very blessed. I'm just really grateful to be doing what I do back at home. And yeah, it's to be able to talk to people like yourselves on your podcast and be invited on to talk. And I'm really grateful for that as well. Share my message, you know, like, and I've got an individual message. I tend to, as an individual and as a cacao sharer, to stay in my own lane, and I don't really focus on what everyone else is doing and get caught up in this mainstream ideology of everything. So I just do me and where my heart, you know, takes me, and that's kind of, that feels nice, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Kakao's on Dragon's Den. I've not watched it. I got told, everyone kept sending pictures, like, I don't watch telly and I'm actually not bothered. I just, like, I don't want things to get into my head. I'm just like, I'm on my little mission, and you know, I want everyone who does what I do to be successful in what they do in their way, and and just help us to everyone to just share this medicine in a beautiful way that's focused around serving others, serving the lands, and being really true to what this beautiful sacred medicine is all about. And if people aren't doing that, I won't say that they're not doing it, because I'm just in my own lane. So the universe will serve out that energy that people put out. And that's just how I see things. Do you know what I mean?
Follow the breadcrumbs from the universe and trust that it'll just sort out what needs sorting out.
Exactly. I'm really happy to see a lot of sharing of the medicine as well. There's a lot of there feels like there's a bit of a heaveness over since, because there's loads of people I see on social media scared about the mainstreaming of cacao since Dragon's Den. Again, I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I think if everyone just focuses on their intention and what they're doing, everything will be fine.
Yeah.
And that's what I hope a lot of people can do, rather than everyone getting into some type of cacao war or cacao argument, you know, because of the mainstreaming. And I know, because when people also, well, you shouldn't be doing this or you shouldn't be doing that, what happens is it leaves where it's supposed to be, the energy, and it goes into the mainstream matrix kind of element of this kind of mass place where it shouldn't be. And if we all just, everyone just talks about it, was it a good idea? Wasn't it a good idea? Should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? Do I know? You know, and everyone just comes together for the love of the medicine, it's going to be an even more beautiful thing. If we can share it to more people, but in the right way, with intention and with love, that's a good thing. It's just a beautiful place I'm in now. So, yeah.
Oh, I love it. I'm here for it. I love it.
Can I show you this? So this woman in Durham. So for people who are looking to really learn about cacao, we got a friend, Anne Bottle. She's been holding space for 30 odd years, and she's written this really beautiful book on celebrating cacao. We've got it on our website. And when I read this book, I believe it's really the most wonderful base. I've read a lot of cacao books. It's called Celebrating Cacao by Anne Ball. Like I said, you can get it from our website. I've read a lot of cacao books, and this one is a book that can really, really help people at the start of their journey to really understand the truths, the myths, the nutrition and the information around our beautiful plant medicine. So I would have liked this at the start of my journey. This would have been a really great thing to help understand. So I just wanted to put that one out there as well. Celebrating Cacao and Ball.
Nice. And that's on your website for how much?
That's on my website. That one is $15.99.
And what's your website? Give yourself a plug.
My website is www.jasper.com. So jaspercacao.com. And if there's a few recipes on there as well, if anyone wants to kind of experiment with different flavors, there's a recipe page. You know, things like heart opener, and that's got rose in. Like, one of my favorites actually is, I always use water personally, but water, cacao, and a little bit of Himalayan salt and a dash of rose water. And it's like a Turkish delight.
Oh, my God. You are sold on me. I am sold.
And if you need a bit of sweetener, just put a little bit of coconut sugar or something like that into it. And, it's on it. It's like a dream. Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Why is it called Jasper then? Is there a story behind that?
Yeah, so basically, when I started coaching around 5 years ago, I was looking for a name for my coaching business. And for me, it always comes back to the word nurture. It's not the most exciting story, but it all kind of fell into place in a way that was quite magical. So I was looking for a name that I wanted people, I didn't want it to say this is what we do, but I wanted it to have total relevance where people would ask a question. So what does that mean? And it just worked. So people call me Jasper. So even though my name's shit. So there's two sides of the coin. Anyway, the first stone that anyone bought me, because obviously everyone, when people start going on a spiritual path, the first thing people think about is crystals or stones. So someone actually got me that as a gift. Didn't know anything about it, didn't know what it was. Anyway, one day I thought, it wasn't in a necklace at the time, it was just on my side. I looked it up, Jasper, and the first words that came up, it said the Supreme Nurturer.
Aww.
And I was like, ooh. And this is when I was looking for a name for the business, and I was like, ooh, Jasper the Supreme Nurturer, that's what my coaching is. There you go. I tell you, it wasn't exciting, but it's nice how it fell together. In such a beautiful way, like this little jigsaw. And so the Jasper Wellbeing was born. And then when I followed this call with the cacao, it was just like, okay, it's about nurturing as well. It's about that supreme nurturing as well. So let's carry on with Jasper and everything that I create, because that essentially changed my life. From that depressed chef. So I want to just carry that on. And that's where the Jasper Cacao Project came in. So that was a lot easier than the initial one. So yeah, nice. That's where that kind of comes from. Yeah.
I like it. I like the story. It's usually the little things, isn't it, that end up being massive, that, you know, you can pinpoint almost where your life pivoted the right way. And, you know, it's quite cool to be something tiny like that. Yeah, so that was absolutely amazing. And I've just got one question, and it's just a silly question really, but when you go and meet the tribes that create the cacao, do you literally just fill your suitcase and bring it home?
No. Someone did say that. No, we get so my first visit, I've not been yet. My first visit is, we're looking at May, so Guatemala and Peru, but generally, no, we get it. They actually fly over for us or send it on a ship. We've got to remember, like, we're going through, if we go through customs with a brown block, legalities in place and customs agents, and it gets quite in depth if you are importing. I'd advise no one to go down that route. It's a lot of hassle. They do all the tests on customs. I find like a box will be like open, and they'll have put a sticker on saying they stab that piece to get a sample, and they put a note on it so you can take it out and obviously put it to the side. That's what they do.
Mad. That is so mad. I just have visions of you, like your pockets stuffed with it, and like it's in your turnips. And
maybe people might even do that. I don't know, but you know, it's certainly been said to me, you're bringing it in a suitcase, but no.
Right. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, it's been really nice. I mean, our main social media is Instagram, and it'd be great if people wanted to kind of follow that journey on Instagram. It's at Jasper Cacao. Within the links in Instagram, there's a WhatsApp group. There's a link to a WhatsApp group. Now, that WhatsApp group is a non-spammy group where I just kind of tell people what's going on, what we're doing, and I sometimes do some little 40-minute sessions over Zoom for anyone in there, where we'll just have we'll drink cacao together, and we'll have a little meditation and stuff like that. So we're just growing really at the start of our journey, as you know, we're just growing that community. And so if people want to kind of join into that, then please do. But yeah, all I can say to people is, from my perspective, there's no rules. Follow your heart. Look for the cacao that you'd like to drink, the people that you connect to, the suppliers that you connect to the most. Ask your questions that you need to know, and follow your heart. There's no rules about how you should be mixing it or anything like that. People might say there is, but just follow your heart in all cases, and your journey will go in the right direction. Thank you as well. Thank you to you for allowing me to come and speak. It's been lovely, and it's always an honor for me, like a real honor, that people would like to speak to me about what I'm doing. So I'm really grateful. So thank you so much.
As you can tell, I'm having a bit of fun with the sound effects. Do Tell me if you don't like them and I'll stop doing them. Slide into my DMs and let me know. I just like having fun. Anyway, how good was that? It was a fantastic interview. I hope you benefited from it as much as I have. I am now an affiliate with the Jasper Cacao Project. There's a link in my bio on my link tree, and I'll also put it in the show notes below, but I have a personal link. When you use this link to order from Jasper Cacao Project, you'll get discount from yours truly. I think it's 15% on your first order, so do please check that out. And that way, both me and Shane get a little bit, and also you benefit too. So it's winning all round. You have been listening to the Bell Witch Podcast with me, Swales, the Friendly Green Witch. Witching in the 21st century. Official photographer is Beverly Thornton. Music by Jeff Harvey of Pixabay. Made on WavePad and shared on Zencaster as always. Thank you so much for tuning to this special early episode. I hope you get some cacao down you and feel those heightened vibrations from this beautiful drink. And let me know about your experience with your cacao journey. Right, that's it from me then. Stay magical, witches. Bye.